You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Break it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Starts now. Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio with Kat and Josh.
We'll be with you for the next 40 to 45 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
And that's right. Today on the Geek Parent Talk Show, we are going to discuss aliens, space, and futuristic universe.
And for those of you who have been with us, yes, we are about a half hour late. I believe Kat may have been abducted for a little bit. I'm not positive on that, but I think she was.
Yeah, and if I was, you know what, I probably wouldn't tell you because it'd be my secret. I love aliens. This is probably one of my favorite topics of the year. It's really, it's the week, this week we're pretty much pulling a full extraterrestrial abductions day marathon on the website, you know, and including aliens, futuristic movies, music, apps, video games, board games, that so forth. So it probably is one of my favorite topics to kind of discuss. It's and of course, like Josh said, I was running late. I swear to you, I was not playing video games. I literally was abducted by my children. I had to attend some things at their school, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it's getting late. But thanks, Josh, for blowing my cover on telling everybody I was abducted by aliens, and that was supposed to be our secret.
well, you know, I'm really bad at secrets, so sorry.
I know. This would be a bad thing. This is why if you and I were together anywhere and we got abducted by aliens, they'd take me and not you.
Come on now. They could take both of us at least.
Oh, but then, see, I'd be partying up there with those aliens, and then you'd come back down here and I'd tell my husband everything. Because I wouldn't
what
be coming down.
What happens in space stays in space.
There you go. You know what? That could be a great motto for us. What happens in space stays in space. I like that. I like that. I actually become nostalgic and around this time of you know, with the topics with the aliens and so forth. I really do. And I know that sounds like a really crazy thing, but I start going through, you know, old alien movies or old you know, video games that have to do with aliens and space and all that other good stuff. So it kind of makes me nostalgic, and it really made me miss the days of Star Wars. I mean, the Star Wars, The Old Republic, the music, the movie, the background. And so just for a moment, we are going to have a moment of silence for my Star Wars. Remember that theme? I mean, who doesn't know Star Wars, really?
I don't know. Somebody maybe, there's probably somebody out there that's under a rock that doesn't quite quite know,
know what it is. Right. I was going to say the same thing. Somebody who lives under a rock. But isn't that most of us geeks?
No, not rocks. We live underneath our desks.
You know, that's... I don't know what you do under your desk. I don't know, but it has to do with Star Wars. You're okay. You're okay, Josh.
Now, Kat, do you remember the first time that you and I actually talked was in Star Wars The Old Republic?
Oh, was that you dressed up as the Star Wars guy and I was Princess Leia?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that was another cosplay. I'm sorry. No. Yes, we did. Didn't we meet on Star Wars The Old Republic?
Yep, on the beta, playing the beta.
That's right. We certainly did. Now, that brings back some memories. If you've never played Star Wars The Old Republic, I would highly recommend playing it. Some parts of it really got to me, but I guess, you know, mostly because we played beta for so long that, you know, it gets repetitive after a while. But the storyline was still great. The music was still great, you know, and the whole atmosphere was, I mean, it really was a good game. And so if you haven't played Star Wars The Old Republic with you yourself or your kids, I would highly recommend it. And if you've watched Star Wars as a family even, it is a family-friendly movie, and I would pretty much assume that Star Wars The Old Republic was a family-friendly game. Of course, you know, you're going to have some troublesome people in chats and so forth, but again, if you're a parent and you're monitoring that, that shouldn't be an issue. But Star Wars The Old Republic, I think, is pretty reliable for the whole family. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And the chat's easy enough to... Sorry, they have tornado sirens testing here, and I just heard a loud buzzing.
No, that was the alien abductions coming your
way. Yeah, okay, well, that could be that too. As long as you keep the chat under control, and you have the filters that you can apply, and so the chat's really the only thing. Other than that, I mean, the gameplay is fun. The storyline for your character, your specific character, I really enjoyed. It's a really cool game to see both sides and to go to some of these planets and be able to walk around. There was a lot of bugs and buggy-ish things and
right.
little nuances that kind of wear on you a little bit. But as a Star Wars fan, it was a very cool game, and I got to embrace my inner Sith. So
that's right. That's right. We did play on the Sith side, didn't we?
I played both, but
one, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I did too. But I think it was for either side. What would you think was your favorite class?
The Sith sorcerer.
What did you like about the Sith sorcerer?
I've never been a real. Whenever I play any type of MMOs, I'm usually ranged, I'm not a tank. I've never liked the tank class. I don't like the, you know, me hit hard. So I kind of like the way that the sorcerer was. I like the fluidity of the moves. I like the everything you could do. So it was a very cool kind of. I did actually end up doing somewhat of a tanking class on my Sith sorcerer, but you
like this because the sorcerer I think could they could tank. It wasn't just
they could
off
tank.
Right, which was pretty neat to be able to do that.
Yes. Yep. So it was very cool. It was a cool game.
Right, so that's Star Wars: The Old Republic. If you're just tuning in with us, and that's one of our favorite games and movies, of course, when we're dealing with futuristic, alien, universal type games and movies and so forth that we're discussing today. Again, it is Extraterrestrial Abductions Day, and, well, March 20th is Extraterrestrial Abductions Day. And it actually, it's either Extraterrestrial Abductions Day, and some people call it Alien Abduction Day. So whatever floats your boat. It was started in Canada a while ago, and it just became such a big hit. People dressed up in different attire, and they had parades and, you know, and signs and so forth. And it just kind of filtered its way over to the United States, and it became a hit here. But I don't, you know, I think it would be really great if we could have one of those type of parades. You know, we have St. Patrick's Day parades. We have, you know, Easter parades if you're religious, or if you have, or Christmas parades even. We have Pirate Day parades. But, you know, it'd be nice to be able to celebrate where you have Extraterrestrial Abduction Day parades. And, of course, you know, there are some people that cosplay to the point where they probably try to abduct people, and that might not turn out too well.
You know, I believe they do have some kind of, like, parade or something down in Roswell. I mean, they'd have to.
I think so, too. It, unfortunately, it probably does. It never happens near me. So, you know, I'm kind of out of luck there. But I think, you know, that might be a nice little thing to start in your area. So if you're listening and you're interested in these Extraterrestrial Abduction Day parades, you know, give us an email. Shoot us an email over at josh@thegeekparent.com or kat@thegeekparent.com, and let us know if you're interested in starting, you know, like a parade in your town, and how you would go about doing it, and what you would include, and all that good stuff about it. Because there's a lot of people out there who would like to do that, and they just don't know how to start, or maybe you could be connected with somebody in your town. We could put that up on the website and kind of toss around ideas for people for an Alien Abduction Day parade, and that's what we're discussing today. Now, we were just talking about Star Wars, and we took a moment of silence for Star Wars, but and we were talking a little bit about some of the Star Wars games and so forth as well. And I asked Josh about his favorite character in the game, but who, Josh, was your favorite character in the movie? In Star Wars itself, of all the movies, who was your favorite?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. He was pretty cool, wasn't he?
He is misunderstood. He brought balance
right
to the universe. And people, yes, he killed everybody. Oh, well, you know, it happens. I mean, a force choke here, you know, a lightsaber slice there. It happens. It's an accident.
You
blow up a planet. It happens.
Right. I have to admit, I like Darth Vader too. I think you, and you are right. You know, coming from that perspective, he was misunderstood. I think he was so much in love with his mother and his and Padme and all that he had so much love for them that he would have done anything to prevent anything from them dying or getting hurt or anything like that. And, you know, that's, there's a psychological term for that, but I don't know what it is. But I think you're right as far as him being misunderstood in that aspect. And I think there's other ways he could have gone about it, maybe. I don't know. But
No, he did it perfect.
But he wouldn't be Darth Vader if he didn't do it the way that he did. No, you're right.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't turn out that way. And I have to agree with that. I think he's a pretty cool character. He is one of my favorites.
He just had a
I
bad boss.
What was that? A bad boss?
He just
boss?
Had a bad boss. Yeah, it was just upper management was bad.
It was upper management. And see, and you know, that goes along with the saying that all those, the people on the Death Star, when it blew up, none of their families collected insurance, life insurance or anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
nope.
They were completely, I know, management, I'll tell you. I actually, I really like the Stormtrooper. I know it's not a specific character. I know. But I really like them. I mean, I think they're loyal and they're devoted and they do what they're told, and they, you know, and they're totally hot in their gear. I mean, even Luke Skywalker looked hot in a stormtrooper suit when he goes out to rescue the princess, and he is definitely far from my favorite character. I actually did not like Luke Skywalker, and that's—I know a lot of people are going to be like, "What? How could you not like Luke Skywalker? He was supposed to be the man, you know." But I don't know. There was something about him I just didn't like. I think he was too whiny to me.
Now if you want to talk about the man, Mace Windu was the man.
Yes, he was. I have to agree with you. I really liked him. And I think he played a really good part, too, in showing his strength. I really think they could have added a little bit more to his strength, too. But I don't know. I think that he was a good character. And I think a lot of people just, they didn't know him as well.
Yeah. Now, you know, my son's favorite character is the Stormtroopers, too. That every time we go out and we picks out something, and that's what he wants. He doesn't want anybody else. He doesn't want Darth Vader. He doesn't want Luke Skywalker. He doesn't want Yoda. He wants a Stormtrooper.
Oh, he is a good kid. Good kid. And we'll get along great. I'll have to send him some Stormtrooper stuff. That's awesome. I don't know. There's just something about them that I just really like. And, you know, I thought they were my favorite character, too, in Star Wars The Old Republic. They were one of my favorite characters because I enjoyed playing the Stormtrooper. And not because of the fact that the voice of the female Stormtrooper was also the voice of Shepard in Mass Effect. That did have a benefit. But
couldn't have anything to do with it, right?
No, that didn't have anything to do with it.
Now, you saw my socks this week, didn't you?
What?
You saw my socks on Facebook?
Oh,
the socks
yes.
My wife got me.
I love them. Now, for those of you who did not get a chance to see Josh's socks on Facebook, he's going to have to post them because they are Darth Vader socks, and they're classy Darth Vader socks. I mean, you can wear these nice, smooth-looking socks with dress shoes, or, I mean, you can wear them with sneakers, too, but but they're nice. I like them. Huh?
I wore my dress shoes, so.
Yes, yeah, but I like them. I like them a lot. You'll have to post those so everybody can see your socks.
I will do that.
We want to see your socks. Now, if your wife happens to get you Stormtrooper underwear, we don't want to see them on you, but you can post them.
She got me some Darth Vader pajama bottoms.
Oh, now see, I could see that. That's cool. That's really cool. I don't have Stormtrooper pajamas. I think Stormtrooper pajamas would be really cool. An alien pajama. I could wear alien pajamas. Anything alien, futuristic, I can deal with. That would be my house for certain. And as far as we're talking about aliens and futuristic, we are going to tell you a little bit about our app of the week.
So my app of the week this week is actually, it's a sky guide. It's on iOS. It's called Sky Guide, SKYGUIDE. We will have a link to it on the website. And what it is, it's a little app for iPhone or iPad that you can hold up to the sky, and it syncs kind of to how you're holding it, and you can see constellations, stars, satellites as they're passing, any thing that's happening, like a meteorite shower. You can have so that there's alerts and notifications to tell you. You can track the sun, see constellations. It's a really cool little app that me and the kids use to kind of check out and see where the sun is, where the moon is, what stars, what constellations, galaxies. You can get zoom in and see suns, and it tells you all these little different things about them. There's different filters. I can't find those. It's on the website, but So it's a really cool little app. It's just, it's about constellations and space and the sky.
This is really a neat app. I mean, even for people who aren't into, you know, space and stars and think that they, you know, oh, I don't know anything about that. I wasn't good with, you know, science and so forth. This is still interesting. I mean, it really gives you some great information, and it's really not in big, for those of you, in big words, for those of you who are afraid of going to download these type apps because you just want something simple that's going to show you the universe and show you stars and stuff without getting too in-depth. I mean, it can, but it really describes things pretty much in layman's terms. And I like this. This is gorgeous. Now you use this?
Yeah. Me and the kids will sit there, and if there's something coming up like a meteor shower, or we'll sit there and we'll pull out the iPad and we'll go outside. And unfortunately, we don't always get the best view of the meteor showers outside, but it'll tell us when they're happening and we can try to go catch some, or we can see different things on the app itself, check out satellites that are moving past. So it's really cool. I think we'll have a lot of fun with it when we go camping, or we used to go camping up in Upper Michigan, and it's in the middle of nowhere and you can see satellites passing overhead.
Uh-huh.
So with this app, we want to start going camping back up there again. And with this app, it should be really cool to be able to sit out there at night and, you know, well, this is here and this is here, and look, and we can find constellations, and it'll tell us all about the constellations and tell us all about the planets behind them and the suns. And
see, I love that. It really is a great feature for families and for, you know, for kids to get them interested in space and the universe and what's out there. And it really opens your eyes up to see that we are definitely not the center of the universe. We are so small in this entire universe. And there's so much out there. And unfortunately, I have motion sickness, so I couldn't even be an astronaut if I even tried. Now, if I get abducted by aliens, the first thing I'm going to do is pop some Dramamine. But that's okay, because I'll just deal with
that. A little chiclet thing.
That's why I carry Dramamine around. It's funny, because everybody's like, why are you carrying Dramamine? Well, in case I get abducted by aliens, I can pop some Dramamine. Okay, that's all right. I love this, Josh. This is great. I don't know if I can download this. Is this just for the iOS?
I believe it's just for iOS.
Oh, wow.
I tried looking for it and tried finding it other places, but every other sky guide on the internet is actually different websites for different things.
Right, right. No, this is nice, though. I'll just have to borrow my son's iPhone and then kind of mess around with it there, because this is just, I love it. It's great. I've always loved the fascination of the universe and seeing what's out there. And as we're discussing some aliens and, you know, out of this universe type apps and so forth, this is a great one for everybody to download. It is called Sky Guide, you said, right?
Yes, Sky Guide. SKYGUIDE.
Perfect. And we will have this on our website at thegeekparent.com, so you can go ahead and download it from there. Or you can find it on iTunes, or just type in Sky Guide, and I'm sure it'll come up there. Or you can just email Josh and ask him a couple of questions about it, or kind of share what you've discovered as well at josh@thegeekparent.com. And I actually found one for the Android, and this one was called Alien Hive, and I believe that is also for the iOS. But this is a cute little app. It's a game. It's almost like if you've ever played Bejeweled or any of those type puzzle type games. It's similar to that, but it has a lot of little puzzles intertwined, and it has to do with a lot of aliens, of course, and their breeding grounds, so forth, as their hives where they live. It was showcased the top 10 Best in Art Award, and it's really got a great cartoon type feature. It's got a this interface, and it's kind of a bunch of aliens and hives, and then gems, and you kind of got to put the match them up together. And like I said, it's kind of like Bejeweled, and you have like tons of different achievements for it. It's like blitz mode, high score. You can auto save the game in progress, because I know sometimes I'll be in the middle of playing a game and then I have to turn it off because something comes up and I realize my game wasn't saved. So it has an auto save progress on it. It has great little graphics and a really nice soundtrack to it. So it's a really casual type game. It's a puzzle gameplay, has hybrid of matching three and sliding tile puzzles. You have to match the tiles to harvest the resources, and then you grow like new species of aliens. And then you zap the naughty bots. So there's a bunch of little things that you can do with this, and it's called Alien Hive. That's A-L-I-E-N. And then Hive, H-I-V-E, and it is on the Android. I believe it is also for the iOS as well.
Because it is for iOS.
Yes, okay, and I'm correct, because I think my daughter did download that, and she has an iOS. It's a fun game. It's cute. It's addictive. So if you are in the mood for playing some games, I would suggest, especially dealing with aliens, I would suggest you go over to Alien Hive and download that. And then if you're in the mood for sitting outside and taking a look at what those the universe has in store for us and maybe discovering your own real aliens, then hop on over and download Sky Guide, which we will have both of those on our website for you to kind of take a look at and maybe download. And then, you know, email us. If you find your own type of game and you want us to kind of feature that on the show as well, email us at onair@thegeekparent.com and let us know what type of app, alien app or software that you've discovered that you think we might be able to mention here on thegeekparent.com. And Josh is going to tell us a little bit of tech of the week because he is our tech guy. What do you have for us, Josh?
So today's tech of the week, or this week's tech of the week, is it kind of fits into the space theme a little bit. It's the Hendo hoverboard. This is a similar style hoverboard as anybody that's seen Back to the Future, where the board hovers across the ground and, you know, you can't go over water if you don't have power. They've actually created a real-life hoverboard. This isn't that fake hoverboard thing that was on the Internet of a few years back. This is a true-to-life hoverboard. They had a Kickstarter campaign. They blew away their goal was $250,000, and they doubled it, a little over doubled it. So it is funded. It is a very cool little device. And Tony Hawk approved.
Of course.
That's the important thing.
That is. He's definitely got to try this thing out. Tell us a little bit about the hoverboard. What actually, for those who have never seen what a hoverboard is or know what a hoverboard is, what does it actually do?
So a hoverboard is like a skateboard, except it has no wheels. It doesn't have trucks. It doesn't have wheels. It has magnets on the bottom. And the way that it's been a while since I've watched how they did this, but it's four disc-shaped hover engines, and they induce an opposing magnetic field to the surface substrate below that provides lift. And it basically just kind of sits there and hovers off of the ground, kind of like a hovercraft, said of a hovercraft uses air. This uses magnets, and the board just sits there, and it hovers about an inch off of the ground. And you're right.
I wondered. See, this is so cool. But do you? I wonder. Do you have, because it has magnetics? Do we have to be on a certain type of pathway, or does it?
Right now, it has to be, the surface substrate needs to be a non-ferromagnetic conductor. So it does have to be some, it looks like they have copper of some sort on the little half pipe that they have. So it does have to have that, but this is a very, I mean, this is a prototype still. So and the
right.
fact that they could actually get it working is awesome.
Right, right, exactly. But especially, you know, and even then, if they do have to have it on a specific type of, you know, ground or so forth, it can't just be on regular cement because it works magnetically.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, eventually in the future, of course, when we start getting into flying cars, things like that. I mean, this is going to be common. These hoverboards are going to be common. It's going to be just like riding a bike.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean,
or a speeder bike.
Right. I mean, this is great. This is almost like, you know, George Jetson in the future here. Because I could definitely try one of these. Definitely. I mean, this would be so much fun. Just trying it out for, you know, even if they were just to have it in, say, like a gymnasium or something, you know, like they have rock climbing walls and bouncy castles, and then now they have these boards to do this in certain areas instead of skateboards. It would be fun, and I think a lot of the kids would enjoy it. Now, it's probably going to take some skill. I mean, just like skateboarding.
It would take some skill. And one of the downfalls that I've seen from the videos that I've watched is where a skateboard, you have four wheels that kind of, and they help you go in a straight line. This doesn't really, it just hovers, so you don't have that ability to focus in on a straight line and then lean which way you want to go. It actually just kind of floats and spins and does whatever it wants to.
Okay, I see. Right. But it's a start. I mean,
it is.
Everybody has to start somewhere. And
yes.
this is a really intense start to the point that they've actually gotten this far. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them, you know, progress a little bit more and so forth with the way the future is moving. I like this. Again, it's called, what, Hendo?
Hendo, H-E-N-D-O, and the website is hendohover.com.
And we'll have that on our website as well for you to just go ahead and click on it. And then you can read a little bit about the company and their story. They have a nice little section there, and the board that they have displayed is just phenomenal. I really like the way that they designed it as well. It looks futuristic. You know, it really does.
It does.
I like that a lot. Thank you, Josh, for that tech of the week. And I'll have to, like I said, I'll have to post that, and then we will move on to our game section.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
What kind of board game do you have for us, Josh, that has to do with aliens or futuristic?
Well, I got a game that's a mashup. It's something that is, I got it and I geeked out on. It is the Risk Star Wars Original Trilogy Edition.
Oh, goodness. Risk. You're one of those strategic players.
Oh, yes. I've loved Risk since I first saw some kids playing on it in the marine biology trip that I was on in high school, and I've loved it ever since, and me and my buddies would play that one for hours on end. And then I found the Star Wars Original Trilogy Edition, and bought that, and it sat wrapped for a little bit. And then actually, when now that my kids are somewhat old enough to play, I'm teaching them how to play, and we can play regular Risk on it. It's very well adapt to just playing regular Risk. And then when they get used to it, we can actually play the Star Wars edition, which has three factions in it, the Empire, the Rebel Alliance, and the Hutts. And the Empire has to eliminate the Rebel forces. The Rebel forces must find the Emperor and destroy him. And the Hutts just have to take over most of the planets. And it's laid out just kind of how the Star Wars, how the map is on most any Star Wars genre thing that you find. The universe map of Star Wars, this is kind of how it's laid out.
Nice. You know, this gives a little bit of a twist. If you've never played Risk before, it can be a longer game, and so one of my sons has a lower attention span, so it doesn't really hold his attention. It does because he likes it, but he has autism too, so it kind of distracts him a little bit from the whole purpose of the game. In other words, he'll start talking about Star Wars instead of playing the game. But that's fine too, because it is Star Wars. But it does take a little strategy, right, in order to play this game. And it is not co-op. You have to actually eliminate the people you're playing with.
Now, the Star Wars edition, it can be co-op because you have two factions that are Empire, two factions that are the Rebel Alliance, and then you can have one faction that's the Hutts, but you can also play them as just a non-playable faction to where they already have a good portion and you're trying to eradicate them.
I'm not a Risk player only because I'm very difficult to play with when it comes to Risk. We have the Risk Mass Effect version, and I'm the type of person that will stay in the little corner of my world, and I don't want anybody to touch me. So,
so you get Australia.
I see. Is that how it is? Hopefully we have no Australian listeners, because they're going to call and say, what are you talking about?
And no,
on
regular Risk, Australia is the little continent that only has one way in and one way out.
And see, that would be me. That is true. That is very true.
So,
I
was
get
no
you there.
Dig on Australia.
No, it was on me. Australians didn't want me. They wanted to, no, take her. Get her out of Australia. She'll destroy us. No, but see, I'm a terrible Risk player, because I'm the type of especially when it comes to Mass Effect games. It's, you know.
Well, that's the only reason you got it.
Yes. Leave me alone. I just set up my guys. But I like the Star Wars one. I have not seen that one before, and I like that because I'm a big Star Wars fan as well, and I think this game is a great game. Now, you said your family plays it. Your kids, you just started getting your kids into it. How old are your kids that are playing it?
The oldest two are 10 and going to be 9 here next week.
Awesome. So you think it's pretty, they picked it up pretty quickly?
The regular Risk version, yeah, they picked it up pretty quickly, and then Dad had to go in, and I don't hold back when it comes to Risk, and they thought we'll get this one, and we'll just pick all over, and we'll get this one because this looks cool, and I'm, like, condensing my army right in the center, and then I just start eradicating them.
You're one of those dads. That you know what, that's like my husband. He ends up like that too. I think you and CJ would be great to play Risk together. Me, I'm always like crying in the corner. No, leave my guys alone. I'm terrible. Yeah, my husband hates playing Risk with me. It doesn't matter if it's regular Risk or if it's Risk Mass Effect or anything. Like I said, Mass Effect is worse. because I don't want him to touch me, and I, you know, the I don't want my alliance guys to be touched. I don't want the reapers to come over near me. I don't, you know, it's just I'm horrible. I only got it just for the looks, I think. You know, that was me, because I love the little alien guys in there too. But I like it. I like the Star Wars one, though. I think I'm going to have to get that just because it's Star Wars. You know, I would never play it. I would just stay in my own little corner.
I've been debating on buying another one and just keeping it in the plastic wraps just so I can put it up on display.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, would your wife allow you to do that? Are you one of those collecting nerds?
The display would be like, you know, maybe in a closet display or something.
It's okay, honey. You can collect your little nerdling things, but make sure they're in a closet.
No, she'd let me have some room. I mean, she bought me the socks and the everything else, so.
She bought you the socks because they're supposed to be on your feet, hidden under your pants.
But she still bought them. She embraced the fact that I'm a geek.
Oh, it's good for her. More power to her. More power to the women who embrace their men that are geeks. That's what I say. They're great guys. And we're... I just saw a picture of your socks again. This is great. You are definitely going to have to post that. I'm going to have to get some socks, too, just to one-up you on your Darth Vader socks. I'll get my Stormtrooper socks.
Oh,
that'll
I have some
great.
Of those, too. I'll post those.
See? I want to see those. That's awesome. I think that's so great. So I'll have to do that. Our introduction to video game reviews, and we, since this is talking about aliens and the universe, are going to talk a little bit about Mass Effect. And I'm sure that Josh is very happy that we only have a couple more minutes left, because I could take up the whole entire talk show talking about Mass Effect.
Well, you can keep talking if you want, and just nobody else is going to hear you.
So in other words, you're just going to put me on mute and let me talk. Is the show over yet? Damn women. Mass Effect, Josh, come on. You played it, haven't you?
I did play. I played all three of them.
All three of them. If you have not played Mass Effect yet, you're a dweeb. Come on now. Okay, maybe you're not a dweeb. But you're listening to us, so that makes you double dweeb. Anyways, Mass Effect 3 was the last one that was released in 2012. And I know it had a lot of adversity about the ending, and I won't give any spoilers here, but I loved it. I love the game. Mass Effect is it's a science fiction, action role-playing, third-person shooter video game. Third-person means that you actually can see your character. First-person means that you are playing the character itself and you really can't see. So it is a third-person shooter video game. It's by BioWare Electronic Arts, and they have three of the games out. They are working on a fourth one, but it has nothing to do with the last three. And you are Commander Shepard, and you save the universe. You go out and you and your alien friends get together, and you do all kinds of quests to save the universe. Commander Shepard can be male or female, and in this part, I am female. If you want to know more about Mass Effect, log on to our website at www.thegeekparent.com. And that's it for now. I am Kat Mahoney from The Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes tonight, and links, photos, and all that will be on our website. Yeah. Okay, Josh, what do you have to say?
You can also keep updated with our discussions, upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media links.
And enjoy the rest of your week. We look forward to talking to you right here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Until then, I am Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. See you next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.